And on KBRB, we are joined in studio today from Ainsworth Community Schools, Secondary Principal Steve Dyke and Elementary Principal Kelsey Reeson joining us. A school about to get started and have a few things want to let parents and patrons know about before that first bell rings. So yeah, welcome to the last week before the madness begins, I suppose.
Absolutely. It is just around the corner. We've gotten through a legislative session here earlier in the year, and we had a chance to get some direction from the legislature, from NDE, adjusted some regs, and we're trying to respond to those right now.
Well, and that's the case. School boards get basically sent a mandate, and then each board gets to figure out how within their rules they want to have that mandate folded in. So there are a few of those that the school board had to address, and one of those being a cell phone policy. As the legislature addressed cell phones in schools and basically told schools, you better have some kind of policy that either limits, restricts, or bans cell phone usage in schools. And now Ainsworth Community Schools did have a cell phone policy previously, so not a huge adjustment that you had to make, but are some tweaks, and thought it'd be good to just let you talk about any changes to the cell phone policy based off that legislation that students will see when they come to class.
Yeah, absolutely. The legislature, of course, we like to balance between what the law tells us and what's best practice and what research supports. And so we're trying to pull all of that together. We did have a policy. Our policy was a little more open than it probably should have been, or at least with the legislative push in across the country to mandate cell phone everywhere, from a full out ban to just more structured guidelines. We had a pretty solid plan in place, and we have left that plan very much the same for our high school kids. Now, some of the research out there, there has been a lot of studying on cell phone usage and ties back to what happens with anxiety with kids. But this last year, the last research that I'd read from the Journal of American Medicine had to do more with suicidal ideation, dysmorphia, body dysmorphia, people not really, or especially young ladies, not handling social media, cell phone screen time, those things. So what we've done, the recommendation out of that was to limit the use of a cell phone no earlier than 13 years of age. And then after that, stay away from social media up until 16 years of age. Some of that is built in to the programs. However, kids find ways around those things. And so in order to kind of look at that as the guiding principle, along with you've got to get a handle on where kids are accessing cell phones, we've gone to an actual ban for our middle school kids. What they will do is they will come in, they check out their phone every morning, they check out their computer every morning, and they'll check in their phone with that teacher. Teacher will have a place to secure it, and then at the end of the day, they come back, they trade one for the other, and go on about their day. The access to social media and those types of things are not really the things that we at this point in time would be in control of. However, that there will still be some issues like that, and I'm sure we'll get parents involved and make sure we have a chance to help monitor that and give some guidance for parents that might be wondering what they can do. There's some great research out there, like I said, on the pitfalls of cell phone usage. We're just kind of getting to that point where we have a better understanding of what's coming down the pike, some of the long-term effects.
Yeah, we've certainly seen a lot of those same things through the news and what that does to kids. But so basically the main change is going to be, as the high school will continue to be no cell phones between the bells. So if they check their phones while they're on their way from one class to the next during the lunch hour, they have that access, but not during classroom time. For now, the middle school will be check in your phone at the beginning of the day, check it out back in your pans at the end of the school day.
So. Right. I know we will sit down as a staff. I try to give teachers some autonomy as to how they manage those things. Some teachers have gotten way out ahead of this and have a phone holder or some place for kids to put it, and they've always done that. Just take that off the table. Others have said put it in your book bag and it's off. Now the other piece of this that does come into play is what do we do with smartwatches, because the actual legislation was about personal communication devices, not just cell phones.
Right.
So we'll have to manage that. And again, kids use it responsibly. Again, it doesn't become a problem. Kids that don't, it's going to be a problem, and we try to implement the three strikes approach with high school kids, unless it's something where it's just an egregious violation of several school rules, and then we may just tell them, leave it at home, don't bring it in here.
So. Yeah, and the big thing is it's all written down in policy, and so do have the handbooks out, so people, if they want to read that or are interested in more detail, can certainly read the entire policy. But again, okay, people with questions, or typically what you'll see is if there is an incident comes up, then you'll have a parent with questions, and that'll be an easy way to kind of talk through that.
So. Yeah, absolutely. You know, any time, whether it's cell phones or anything else, you know, I'm at the school, give me a call, and I would send me an email. I'll probably call you back. I would much rather have a conversation, because I can probably stop six more emails.
Right. Well, so that on the cell phone policy, another change. I know there's, you know, attendance guidelines that are handed down by the state pretty rigorously, dictating to schools what constitutes chronic absenteeism or what constitutes schools having to require students to maybe make up classwork, not just classwork, but make up those days missed, whether it's through summer school, whether it's through, you know, credit recovery. But and I know there's some things there, and that's been something where you've I know had questions from parents in the past.
Right. We run Kelsey and I sat down yesterday and looked at some of the trend data again with chronic absenteeism. At our high school, we run about 15% last year chronic absenteeism. And chronic absenteeism is defined as missing 10% of the days or 10% of the class periods. So the problem with that is, by the time you look at where the law is going to get involved with truancy, that's 20 days. That's 20 days any time, any reason. And the state, with their definition, it's any time, any reason, with the exception of school activities. So there's kind of multiple definitions. We just want to try to be consistent with what we've got. Now, we have historically had that number of 10, and I inherited that several years ago. And that the problem is, we would send a letter home with 5 days, and we would send we would have a meeting or some communication with the kid looking for barriers. And those guidelines come from NDE as how do you effectively address poor attendance or chronic absenteeism. Once we get to that 10 days, then we would bring them in, potential of losing credit. And the problem is, we're too late. They're
right.
Already chronically absentee,
right,
or absent. And when they're chronically absent, they are chronically absent. There's no do-over. There's
very
no
black
catch-up.
And white. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what we've done is we've kind of moved some of those marks. We will go ahead and send you a letter at 4 days. When a kid gets to 4 days, and that's pretty early, just making sure as a parent you realize, because sometimes, wow, I didn't realize that they'd miss that. But by the time they get to 4 days, that's a week of school, you know. And then when they get to 7 days, we'll go ahead and have that meeting and look at, what do we need to do? What can we work with you as a parent to try to get help the kid get to school and make sure that we're not falling behind. And then once we get to 8 days, it's not 10 anymore, it's 8. When we get to 8 days, then we will notify, and they're at risk of not getting credit. But what we've also put in is a concept called recovery time. And once that once they get to that 8, they'll be assigned time to come back and recoup those days. So we can keep that kid at 8 days, not chronically absent. But what that's going to mean is there'll be some makeup time after school. Once you get to those 8 days, or on an in-service day or whatever that looks like, so that we can, and I use the term makeup time, and really the term I should be using is there'll be an opportunity to redo the learning. You know, they missed this piece of time, and we were talking about the quadratic formula. So let's do some work and show me that you know that you understand the concept of the quadratic
formula. And obviously, absences can vary in each individual circumstance. You know, you may have a kid that has a medical issue or has a long lasting illness that limits their time available. You know, we used to just kick the kids out the door. You're fine, go to school. But now, if they're running a fever, basically the guidance is keep them home. We don't want to spread anything. And if they have a fever, they basically aren't allowed to come to school. So I know there'll be instances where it varies between each household on why a student is absent. But unfortunately, in the eyes of the state, an absence is an absence.
Right.
It does not matter whether they just didn't show up to school or whether the parent calls and say, hey, my son or daughter is sick and not going to be able to come in today. You know, in the state's eyes, it's all the same.
Right. And our goal is to try to use a little common sense here.
Right.
In a black and white list that's handed to us. So we'll, you know, again, we're going to try to work with parents. We're going to try to make sure. And it may be, I was sick, I was absent, you weren't in class. We need to make up some time. Now, there are some other unique situations out there. Say a student has a 504 plan or an IEP that limits their ability to attend school, and we address those through
sure.
that, and that fall that that ends up being set aside by some of the things, or they are just chronically absent
right.
because of that.
And, you know, in one of those opportunities, I know there's an after-school program available. I know the deadline's coming up pretty soon. So if either one of you want to talk about, you know, the after-school program that's available, I believe it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, maybe. Is that right on the after-school program? But for anybody that wants to enroll a student in that after-school program, that would be a good thing to kind of talk about as we talk about credit recovery or absenteeism. But a chance for those students then, not only if they have classwork that they need to make up or to have be supplemented, but just some fun activities as well for other students that want to enroll.
Yeah, so our ASAP program is really good for the kids, and you can get on our school website or our school Facebook and find that sign up. It's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 every day after school. They have lots of fun things like adventure club, homework club, things like that. It's a way for kids to still maintain that school structure, but yet get help on homework, like you said, or just other academic things. So it's a great opportunity for our kids.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think. We're touching on some of the things we wanted to talk about. I know, Kelsey, you had one other one, too, that you kind of wanted to touch on.
Our fifth grade is going to be a little bit of a change this year. We decided that, you know, they're only 9 and 10 year olds, or they're pretty young. So we wanted them to be in a self-contained classroom. So we now have 2 self-contained fifth grade classrooms. So instead of that moving and grooving and shuffling of kids for the middle school, we're now going to be completely self-contained, where they have their reading, math, science, social studies, everything in one classroom. So kind of more like your elementary scheme of things.
And that seems to be what that used to be. I mean, you know, when I went through elementary school, it was that way in fifth grade. It wasn't until you were in sixth grade did you start kind of moving classrooms based on the class you were taking. But yeah, through fifth grade, you basically had one teacher. And then I knew that went at some point to K-4, and then fifth was moved into middle school. But it sounds like then that's moving back more to kind of the elementary type structure with one classroom teacher for each class.
Yep, we're going to do that. And then they're going to be involved in our monthly celebrations, punch cards, kind of leaning back towards that elementary mindset. So
gotcha.
I think that gives gives the transition to middle school an opportunity to happen over the year rather than here's day one. I'm still seeing some of the sixth graders come down. I'm struggling with my locker, and I did this all last year. You know, so some of that anxiety. But I think that will better serve. I know research. We did some research on it last year before we made this decision, and when we looked at it, the fewer transitions historically, the better it is for kids. You know, so a K-8 versus a K-6 versus where does middle school fit? And if you're going to adopt the middle school, traditionally, middle schools come in all shapes and sizes. But, you know, we're more used to that junior high concept of, you know, you're a mini high school in the 7th and 8th grade.
Right.
And then K-6 was where you would go ahead and be that self-contained setting. So I think there's a lot of good things we're going to be able to do for kids just by focusing more on the kid and not spending so much time moving around.
Yeah. Well, very good. That's a lot of information to get out, and I wish you folks the best as school gets started. And I know the both of you, pretty open door policy as far as any parents with questions or if it's a specific issue that might pertain to their child. I know you guys always have an open door, whether it's a phone call, an email, stopping in person, that you're willing to sit down and talk with folks.
Okay. The other thing we were going to talk about was give everybody a heads up on changes in the finals schedule. So we have worked with finals as long as I've been here, and we had a kind of an expectation that everybody in 9-12 was going to take finals because we were going to prepare them for college. I think it was in response to some things that had happened in the past where they had done some exemptions from finals, and then we would get kids who had never experienced finals, heading off to college. So there's that was the response. And now what we're going to try to do is pull back and spread finals over 4 days, where you will take a final in your math class, your science class, your English class, and your social studies class. And then everybody else will figure out more of the hands-on practical experience of finals, because I know when I went to college, that practical final was a whole new thing going into a science class or an athletic training class, mm-hmm. and you had to tape an ankle. You had to show that you could do that. And those fit. I know talking with Mr. Pollock, he was very excited about the possibility of looking at the schedule and creating a series of days for him to do things like that. So I think with the career tech ed and the elective pieces, I think that will go very well. I just want to make sure everybody knows that you're getting a heads up 4 months in advance that we're going to do some things just a little bit different in terms of finals.
All right. Well, appreciate it. Kelsey Reeson, Steve Dyke from Ainsworth Community Schools joining us here on KBRB as we get set for the 2025 and 2026 school year.